What do we talk about on Sunday? Decide, commit, and succeed. And we're talking about deciding on what God said. You know, because you can make any decision you want, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll succeed even if you commit to it. I mean, if it's not from God and you commit to it, you'll succeed in making a mess. But we don't want that. But Sunday, we just gave you an overview, and we're going to talk about each component. So tonight, we're just going to talk about decide. Just talking about decide, because I found out that no matter what we do, everything's well, for example, everyone stand up. Stand up. Just raise one hand, either hand. All right. I'm not going to ask you to raise one leg. Okay. You can put your hand down. You can sit down. Okay. Why'd you stand up? And you decided to obey. You decided to listen, to follow the instructions. You could have just as easily decided not to. See, everything that we do starts with a decision. Like I'm deciding we're going to go back to John 3:16. And then John 13, verse 34, that's really, hey, first he tried with my notes in my iPad. Okay, so if we're going to have music, we can tune out the music and just listen to the words that come out of my mouth. How about that? Will that work? John 3:16 and 17 in the Passion Translation says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave," pay attention, David, don't give, I thought it, but I wasn't going to say it, because see how easy it is, we can get distracted. He's trying hard tonight, folks. He doesn't want you to get this. Say, we're going to get it anyway. Amen. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now, it just cut off. And so now, everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. John 13, 34 and 35, also in the Passion Translation, says, "So I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." How many of you want to be a true follower? Amen. And turn to the person, look at the person to the left, right, and front and back, and know you have to love them the same way Jesus loves you. Period. Period. I told you on Sunday that God told me to expect a bumper crop this year. I told you what a bumper crop meant. You know, it means a crop so productive that you have insufficient space to store it all. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. But he also let us know that's not just going to come. We have a responsibility. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. We have to pay the price to receive the blessings. We get redemption. It didn't cost us anything. It wasn't free because Jesus had to pay the price. It wasn't free. But we received it free of charge. And that put us in the path of all of God's promises, all of his blessings. But now to get those blessings, there's a way we have to conduct ourselves. There's some things that we have to do. In John, in 3 John 2, he wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And we found out that that means that we're going to prosper to the same degree that our soul prospers. As we prosper spiritually, we'll prosper naturally. If there's no spiritual prosperity, guess what? You can forget it. So we have to make sure, see, instead of wasting time trying to get riches, we need to spend the time trying to have our, working on having our soul prosper, because everything else will follow that. Because when your soul's prospering, you make the right choices. And you'll make the right decisions. Because you'll be in the right place, and you'll be hearing the right words. Then we read Malachi 3:10, which says, bring all the tithe, according to the Amplified Bible, the whole tenth into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it. God is saying, you bring in the whole tenth, and doing that will prove me. Will prove what? That he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he'll rebuke the devourer. So not only will you have so much you won't have room enough to receive it, he's going to stop plagues and pests from coming to take what you don't have room for anyway. You think about that. I don't have room to receive it, so if he took it, I might not even notice it's gone. Because it's just so much. But God said, I don't care how much I give you, the devourer doesn't have a right to it. And you keep bringing your tithe into the storehouse, I'll keep stopping him in his tracks. I like that. Joshua 1:8. We looked at that in a different light. Because it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. That means in every moment, in every situation, we need to be constantly thinking about what is God saying about what I'm going through at this moment. Because it says we have to observe to do according to all. That means we have to purpose to do. We have to commit to doing all that's written. Because when we commit to do all that's written, then we will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. But if we don't meditate day and night, if we don't commit to do all, we won't make our way prosperous. See, when you commit to something, and we're going to talk about commitment in greater detail on Sunday, but when you make a commitment, that means nothing that comes up will stop you. Period. Nothing. When I filled out my first Ministries of Helps application, and I guess like everyone else, I read every question, and two questions popped out at me like flashing neon lights. First one was, will you attend meetings when required? Well, I decided that I was going to obey God and join the Ministries of Helps. I kind of obey God. I didn't join the one that he wanted me to. But I made a commitment to it. I said, I'm doing this, and I didn't care if it rained, snowed. I told the president of the company, I'm not taking appointments after 3 o'clock on Wednesdays and Fridays, and forget about Sundays. And he looked at me. He said, but what if someone just got burglarized? I said, you go. I'm talking to the president of the company. He said, wait a minute. I hired you to do that. I said, and I told you that you were number 4 on my list of priorities. Before you hired me, I said it was God first, my relationship with my wife second, my family third, then work. I said, and really, you try and keep me from going to church on Wednesday and Friday, I'm not going to be a very good employee. But I said, I have to be in church on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because first I was a host, and that's when we were required, and then I was in the youth department. And youth fellowship meetings were on Friday, so I had to be there. And I think the worst he could do was fire me, and if he fired me, God would give me another job because I was committed to doing what he called me to do. That's commitment, folks. I told you on Sunday, we use the example of where you make a decision that you're going to tithe. Then all of a sudden, an unexpected expense comes. And you decide well, I can't bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And sometimes when things like that happen, it appears that things happen one after another, like it's a domino effect. Yeah, because you broke the cycle. See, because something happened and the enemy saw, hey, if I allow this to happen, they won't tithe. So one thing will happen after another, and you'll never get to the place, and you'll never get caught up, and you start getting frustrated, and you don't know what's going on. He said, bring the whole tenth into the storehouse. And, you know, and just thinking that out, since God said he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive it, I'm sure in that blessing is more than we need to handle whatever situation comes up. But we just need to understand the principle and understand the formula. We decided to do it. We have to commit to doing it. And then we will have the success because we did it. We looked at Exodus 23, verse 25, where it says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God. And he will do what? Bless your bread and your water and take sickness away from the midst of you. And the number of your days he will fulfill." But that's a result of doing what? Serving the Lord, committing to the Lord, making a decision for the Lord. If you don't do those things, he doesn't have to bless your bread and your water and take anything from you. Then you can read Luke 6 and see all of the things we have to do there even before we get to giving. You know, he says things we don't like to hear. Love your enemies. You know, do it. If you lend money and someone doesn't pay you back, forget about it. Let it go. Also says in there, give to anyone that asks. You know, so we look at all of those things and we don't realize if they're part of a formula. We have to decide to do them because we can't commit to what we haven't decided to do. So that's why I guess decide is first, and that's why we're talking about it, because whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. Everything we do starts with a decision. Why do you think God said, "Let there be light"? Why do you think he said that? He wanted light. He made a decision. It's time for light. Let there be light. He decided that he wanted to introduce man into the earth. So he decided, let us make man in our image and after our own likeness. He decided mankind didn't just happen. It was the result of a decision. And the reason we're still here is because God was committed to his decision. Even when we did things worthy of being wiped out, he put in place a means to keep us here because he's committed to us. And he expects that same type of commitment to be in us. So if we're going to be successful in whatever it is that God called us to do, we have to decide, first of all, that God's way is the only way to get there. We have to decide. Look at Ephesians 5. I'm in the Phillips. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, "Live then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time." Think about all of the decisions that are in this passage. I'm going to start from the beginning. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility. That means you can live life without a sense of responsibility. You have to decide to do it. Make the best use of your time. You can decide to waste your time. Despite all the difficulties of these days, don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know the will of God to be. See, again, it doesn't talk about what you don't know. It says grab a hold of what you know God's will is. Don't forget your don't get your stimulus from wine or any other substance. Said, for there's always the danger of excessive drinking. See, that's why he doesn't want us to get involved in worldly stuff, because we go into it thinking we're only going to go but so far. But once we get into it, we can ease over into excess very easily. He said, but let the Spirit stimulate your souls. Express your joy in singing among yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your hearts for the ears of God. Thank God at all times for everything. So that takes a while. You can decide to murmur and complain when something happens. Oh God, why is this happening to me? I'm waiting for God to answer one day, saying, well, who do you want it to happen to? Okay. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and fit in with each other because of your common reverence for Christ. The contemporary English version says, these are evil times, so make every minute count. Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. So it's letting us know, if we try and live without finding out what the Lord wants us to do, that's what? That's stupid. It makes no sense. Why? We're spirit beings. We're made in his image and after his likeness. Why wouldn't we find out? We say we're his children. Why wouldn't we take the time to find out? Since we decided to become his child. He didn't force any of us. We made a choice to receive Jesus Christ. But there's a process in decision making. And it's the same process, same in corporate and everywhere else. The first thing you need to do is identify the problem, or you need to identify what it is that you want to do or you want to accomplish. Then you have to gather information. What kind of information? About what it is that you want to do or you think you want to do. Gather information about, you know, how it can be done. All of those things. We just read that in Ephesians 5 that said, make every minute count. But John 16, he gave us some key information. He said, when the friend comes, this is the Message Bible, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. That's letting us know that before we make any decision, before we decide to do anything, we need to find out from the Holy Ghost what the truth is. Because we want to make well-informed decisions. And the only way to be well-informed is to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, and allow him to guide us into all the truth there is. How many want to know all the truth? Yeah, it's a whole lot better than not knowing any truth, that's for sure. See, and the key at this juncture is to get information that will help your decision-making progress, because you're not sure which way you should go. You're not sure what it is that you should choose. That's why it's called a decision. You don't know, but you want to know. So you need what? Wisdom. We need wisdom. James 1. Once you turn there, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 in the Amplified Bible. It says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the all-giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. Verse 6. Only it must be in faith. That means when you ask, you must believe and expect he answered you. Not he's going to answer you, but he answered you. With no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Verse 8. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. That means you'll make a decision and not even be sure about it. So when we're asking God, when we're going to God, we need to go in faith. The third thing we need to do when we're in a decision-making progress is we want to identify the alternatives. And really, there are only two. It's God's way and any other way. I mean, that's really all there is. And you need to consider the outcome of each. You consider what's going to happen if I go God's way, what's going to happen if I don't. What I love about this step is that I don't have to figure it out, because God already tells me what will happen if I do it his way, and he lets me know what will happen if I don't. He makes things crystal clear. Look at Deuteronomy 28. This is the Message Bible. God says, if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all the nations of the world. All these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. Verse 14, don't swerve an inch to the right or left from the words that I command you today by going off following and worshiping other gods. So don't even swerve for an inch. We can't afford it. That means we have to stay exactly on course. And God said that the blessings will come down on us and spread out beyond us. Now, think about it. If it's spreading out beyond you, as you are going along, you're staying surrounded by his blessings. Because it doesn't say they're going to spread out beyond you and then you're going to get to a point and walk past them. Wherever you go, your blessings are going to be beyond you. Not leave you. Surround you and go beyond you because you obeyed the voice of God. We have to make a choice to do that. It starts with a choice. Those are good outcomes. Everybody wants those, but there are other consequences based on our decision. Verse 15, here's what will happen, not might happen. Here's what will happen if you don't obediently listen to the voice of God, your God, and diligently keep all the commandments and guidelines that I'm commanding you today. All these curses will come down hard on you. All of them. I had to read to separate verse 29. Not a day will go by that you're not abused and robbed. No one is going to help you. No one. When you feel like you've ever had one of those days, you need to stop and do a God positioning check, because something's off kilter here. Because your blessings are supposed to be all around you. If they're not, something is out of place, and usually it's us, not God. Said in verse 45, he said, all these curses are going to come on you. They're going to hurt you, hunt you down. Listen, they're going to hunt you down and get you until there's nothing left of you because you didn't obediently listen to the voice of God, your God, and diligently keep his commandments and guidelines that I have commanded you. So we have to thoroughly review, the blessings or thoroughly review all of the consequences associated with our decision before we make it. And we have to be honest. You know, we can't say, well, I'm not going to read that because if I don't read it and I don't know it, then I won't be held accountable for it. Yes, we will. Why? Because we said yes. So it's expected. I'm going to put in, there was another step that I inserted in this when I was sitting down reading these scriptures. Is that God loves us so much. He tells us what will happen. He gives us a choice. He tells us what will happen because of our choice, accepting either choice. Then he tells us what to choose. he tells us. In Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. And all that means is that he's got it on record that he's presented both sides and told you what you need to do. He said that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So he said, I know you have these two choices. I put them before you. Choose life. Because when you choose life, you and your seed, you and your family will have life. Not death. Will have life. The complete Jewish Bible says, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving your God, paying attention to what he says, and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. So he's telling, if you choose life, then you will serve me, then you will commit to me. But if you choose death, you won't. And if you don't have life, all that's left is death. And I don't want to successfully have death. But if I commit to it, I'm going to succeed in getting it. Now, before we can decide God's way and everything, before we can, we need to understand that once we decide that we're going to do it God's way, everything we do has to line up with that decision. Everything. That's where the commitment comes in. But there are, as I said earlier, there are decisions within the decisions within a decision. Every step of the way is a decision. How many of you, you've made a decision that you're going to read the Word of God every day, right? Okay. So you have to make a decision to pick up your Bible and open it. Before that, you have to make a decision to turn off any distractors. Turn off your phones, turn off the TV, even turn off the Christian music. Because for me, I want to read and my mind starts singing the songs. It's like, what's in my ear? I'm hearing this music, I'm trying to talk, and it's competing with each other. So we're going to have to make all of those decisions. Then we're going to have to read it and make a decision to understand what it's saying. So make a decision to understand? Yes. You purpose in your heart, I'm going to understand. I'm going to get the revelation out of what I'm reading. And if you're not understanding, you're going to make a decision to ask God for it. And then once you read it, you're going to make a decision to put it into practice in areas of your life. Because as you are reading it, the Holy Ghost is going to highlight some things. And when he highlights them, you're going to have to make a choice to commit to make the correction. It's not God beating you up. It's God getting us back on course. That's why it requires us to be humble, and we have to admit, yeah, you're right, God. I did do that. I repent. Now, how do I fix it again? You know, and whatever he tells us to do, we need to do it. And after we've done that, the last step is just make a decision. Decide what it is you're going to do. But remember that whatever you decide, it's going to dictate how you're going to live. It's going to dictate the path that you go down. That's why it's so important to make the right decision, because we want to go down the right path. Everybody here I know has a testimony of making a wrong choice and winding up on the wrong path. I've used this analogy several times. I was on the way home, and we were going to eat, and we had to get off at exit 17 north on 87. And Deacon Feldstein, we were talking, and next thing I knew, I passed the exit. Now, I had a choice. I could have pulled over and backed up. Okay. And the only reason that came into mind, first of all, because the devil wanted me to get a ticket or even to an accident, but it was 17 miles to the next exit. So that means 17 miles north, get off, go on the other side, and 17 miles back. That's another 40 minutes. Because I wasn't going to drive at 75, 80. That's another 40 minutes because I wasn't paying attention. And I wound up on the wrong path. And that happens to us in our Christian walk. If we're not paying attention, we wind up missing it. Amen. And when you don't get upset when you miss it, folks. Just decide to correct it. Amen. And that means doing whatever is necessary to correct it. We miss it and we get upset. We want God to fix it right away. Some of us have made some horrible choices with our finances and we've been praying about it and we're upset because we want God to fix it right away. He did. He gave you the plan. That's the fix. Now you have to work the plan. And in due season, guess what? You'll be out of that mess if you stick to it. I could have chosen to keep going. I'm not turning around. I wound up in Canada. I'm like, how dumb is that? Because I still would have had to eventually come back. See, sometimes, folks, there's just no shortcut. You've missed it. Okay, accept it. Find out from God how to fix it. Decide to do it. Commit to it. And it'll be fixed. You know, it's real. It's as simple as I'm making it sound. Understand Romans 6:16. This is out of the Passion Translation. It says, don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? God will allow us to choose whoever we want to choose as our master. But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. See, Pastor Ed's been teaching, you know, about the God kind of love. But, you know, and you may, if you don't decide you're going to operate in the God kind of love, you won't. You won't. But if you decide that that's what you're going to do, and you start taking the step in that direction, and you're committed to it, you're committed to it. It's hard for me to talk about decisions without commitment. But if you're committed to that decision, you will become the love of God. Not that you will operate in it, you will become the love of God. But if you don't decide to do it, then you'll become the opposite. And no one will see love, the love of God, at least not in you. But once you commit to it, better way to put it is, there's only one way that you know that you're committed to it. You know when that is? When something happens. when someone wrongs you, when someone hurts you, when someone else walks out of love towards you, what are you going to respond with? That's how you know you're committed. When we get to the place when we can literally turn the other cheek, and not because we're afraid that if we stand at a person will just beat us up and hurt us some more, you know. But one for me, one of the most powerful things that I did in my life was when this person did something, and not being saved, I had a right to break him into four or five pieces and didn't. I just looked at him and smiled and walked away. I didn't care what he thought. I knew what I could have done. But I said, it's the aftermath isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. He's not worth me being incarcerated. It's not worth it, you know. And that's the way I look at sin. It's not worth it. What you have to deal with is not worth it. You know, why would I want that when I already know when my father has already told me the consequences of the actions that I can take? He's already told me, if you do this, curses. If you do this, blessings. Son, take the blessings. That's all. But take the blessings. Take the blessings. Take the blessings. You're making the wrong decision. Take the blessings. Well, that's the long way. Take the blessings. A long way is better than a long time. And if you don't take the blessings, it'll be a long time getting out of it. Jesus told us in John that he can't, according to the Message Bible, he said, I can't do a solitary thing on my own. Here's the key, folks. He said, I listen, then I decide. He takes the time to listen, and he says, and you can trust my decision because I'm not out to get my own way. That's a key in us understanding how to make the right decision. You know, if we're thinking, okay, this is the right way, but I can get more if I do it this, you know, you're out for yourself. We want to be out to pleasing God. Jesus said, I don't seek after my own way. And because I don't seek after my own way, you can trust my decision. You can trust me. He said, I'm only here to carry out orders. If I were simply speaking on my own account, I would be an empty, self-serving witness. But an independent witness confirms me, the most reliable witness of all. Furthermore, you all saw and heard John. He gave expert, reliable testimony about me, didn't he? So other people will see that you are true followers of Christ. And no. Tell me anything you want. Don't tell me anything about Gerald and Shirley. I know them. I know how they live. They're true Christians. No, they don't do that. Period. It's settled. I can trust them because I know. That's how we can trust God. That's how he should be able to trust us. Because we go to him to get the right choices. And when he gives them to us, we do them. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. And when I was thinking all through history, no, I'm not going to do that. It's amazing with this because I'll press it, I'll ask Siri a question, and it doesn't hear me. Now it comes on, starts repeating what I say without any problem. I'm going to say, I'm not talking to you. But see, it's not a person. That's why I could just turn it over. But I wanted to take it and put it out on the railroad tracks. Then I just have to buy another one. Anyway. But folks, when we get to the place where we allow all of our decisions to be influenced by God, and then we go with it. And so we just go with it. You'd be amazed. You'd be absolutely amazed at how much better your lives would go. How much smoother things would be. And how much easier it would be to keep your commitments. Because keeping commitments becomes habitual. See, if you keep changing your decision, you won't commit to anything. Because that's what, if I choose to follow God and then something happens and I don't, it means I chose not to. It means I changed my mind. That means I was unstable. And we read in James, it said, even your decisions, you'll be unstable. And I don't like, one of my faults, weaknesses, whatever you want to call it, I say this to my grandchildren and I said it to my children. If I can't trust you, I don't want you around me. If I don't know what you're going to do, I don't need you around me. I said, so don't ever lie to Grandpa, because Grandpa won't trust you. And if I can't trust you, like, I won't be able to come over anymore. Well, you won't be able to come around me. So they tell me the truth. I don't know if they tell anybody else what happened. And I'll get, okay, this is what it is. I can trust them. And I know how to minister to them. But if you don't tell me the truth, one of the things that I don't understand is why would someone make an appointment to sit with their pastors for an advisory meeting and then start telling the pastors what they're already going to do? I'm thinking, why are you here? I'm telling you one thing. You say, well, God already, well, go with God. You want to be like Mike, like Apostle Mike. Be warm, be filled, be gone. Where do I go with that? You know, if you came because you needed some assistance in making a choice, and then we sit down with you, you've already made it. And you just announcing to us, you could have done that over the phone, sent an email. You know, but I don't need to come, I've already decided. We're going to say, fine. I'm serious. We're going to say, fine. We're not going to say, well, come on, run it by me. No, we want you to hear from God. And sometimes you're going to miss it. And sometimes you're going to just out and out be disobedient. Welcome to humanity. Just be humble enough to say to God, I just blew this. That's all. I just blew it. I knew exactly what I was doing. I rolled the dice, and it came up snake eyes. Okay? This isn't the devil. This was me. I chose it. I knew better. That's all. The decision-making process, folks, is designed for us to make right decisions, not wrong decisions. But we have to understand it. It's not fun learning. It's not fun going through. But reaping the fruits of it is a whole lot of fun. I enjoy the results of good decisions. I mean, even I learned it even playing athletics. And you know it too, Bob. You make a decision, it can cost you the game. Got to let it go. Learn from it. Repent to your teammates. And going out there and play the next game. That's all you can do. Don't get stuck in a wrong decision. Go just start moving back. Go back through the steps. Okay, this decision was wrong. Where did I miss it? Okay, did I not get enough information? Did I not thoroughly look at the consequences? Did, you know, Where did I miss God? He'll show you. And you just fix it and keep moving. But I'm telling you, folks, we get better at decision making, your life will change. I'm going on hook. But your life will change. You make better decisions. Knowing that that's only the first step. Because once you make the decision, then you have to remain committed to what you said. That's why I always ask folks, are you sure? I ask anytime a potential employee comes and sits down with me, I ask the same question. Why do you want to come to work here? Just point blank. Why? And they look at me. I'm like, well, God told me to come. I said, are you sure? Yes. No, I said, no. I mean, are you absolutely sure God told you to come to work here? And they looked. They said, yeah. I said, let me tell you why I'm telling you this. I don't want you to come here thinking this is a church and everybody's just going to be, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, shamana nakita. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. No, this is a workplace. And everything that you find in a workplace, you're going to find here, even sometimes folks having the wrong attitude. And sometimes you'll find yourself in the position that the only thing that will keep you here is that you know God told you to come. I can't tell you the times I've been in my office. I sit down, okay, God, I know you told me to come. You didn't tell me to go. I used to threaten leaving. I told him, I said, I'm enough of this. I'll drive a bus for Chestnut Ridge Transportation. Like, later for this. It was like, okay, so you want to be responsible for me allowing them to go out of business. And all the trouble it's going to cause, all those employees are going to be on you. Okay, I'll stay. I'll stay. But, folks, if we learn how to make the right process, or make the right decisions in any situation, because let's face it, being human, our lives are situational. Things are going to happen, and we're going to have to respond to them. And we want to make sure we respond the right way. We want to be people in whom the love of God is evident. Well, it's going to require us to make decisions based on understanding that God is love. And if we're his children, then I guess we're lovettes. You know, sounds like a singing group, the lovettes. Okay. But when they see you, they see God. That's a choice you have to make. In the midst of ugly people, or I should say people who act ugly, because I personally don't believe there are any naturally ugly people, because when God made man, he looked and he said, the Bible says, behold, it was very good. So it may not be your taste, but that doesn't mean that the people are ugly. Okay. And once you understand the love of God, you won't see anyone as being unlovable. Because no one is unlovable. I know it's been said you have to learn how to hug a porcupine. I'm like, why? If I don't see him as a porcupine, what difference does it make? So I don't have to learn how to hug a porcupine. I have to learn how to love people, and I won't see any porcupines. It's that simple. That's the bigger picture. Amen?